Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, with Ray Noble and his orchestra, Joan Merrill, Professor Irwin Corey, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and Charlie's special guest for tonight, Miss Xenia Hustle.
Joan, have you seen Charlie?
Why, yes, Edgar. I saw him in the drugstore buying some bandages and adhesive tape.
Uh-oh. Now I wonder what he's up to now. Well, we won't wait. Why don't you sing, Joan, and while we're waiting for him, huh?
All right, Edgar. Here's Ray Noble's super arrangement of a little number called You Got Me Where You Want Me.
Got me where you want me, and I hope you're satisfied. You've got me where you want me, and you hardly even try. A single look was all I took, and starry-eyed I watched my poor old heart go on that roller coaster ride. I say I won't grow tender, but I know darn well I will. My hopes are pretty slender, and my chances almost nil. Why should I try to alibi when anyone can see? You've got me where you want me, and it's where I want to be. And I hope you're satisfied, and you hardly even try. A single look was all I took, and starry-eyed I watched my poor old heart go on that roller coaster ride. I say I won't grow tender, but I know darn well I will. My hopes are pretty slender, and my chances almost nil. Why should I try to alibi when anyone can see? You got me where you want me, and it's where I want to be.
Well, Charlie, you look like a wreck.
Yes.
What's happened to you?
Well, I got a mild case of extreme agony.
Yes, I see. Well, what are all those bandages on your head for? Are you hurt?
I
say, are you hurt?
Hurt?
Yeah.
No, silly. I'm just wrapped as a gift, that's all.
I see. Then, you poor boy, you're really suffering?
Oh, no one will know what I've gone through.
I see.
No one. I won't tell them.
No.
It's none of their business. I just suffer, suffer, suffer. I've suffered so much I don't mind suffering.
Yeah.
It's just a pain I can't stand.
Yeah. Well, life is complicated, isn't it?
Yes. You know, sometimes I think a person would be luckier if he wasn't born at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that seldom happens.
Yeah. Well, if you're so sick, Charlie, maybe I should get a doctor.
Oh, it's too late for a doctor.
Too late, yeah. Maybe I should take you to the hospital.
Oh, it's too late for that.
Yeah. Should I get you a nurse?
It's too bad we didn't think of that sooner, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess you're not seriously ill.
Oh, no, but if the worst should come to the worst, Bergen, you know, if I should succumb.
Yes. Oh, now stop it, Charlie. You're not going to die.
Oh, no.
No, no.
I can see Rigor and Mortis rubbing their hands together now.
Oh. Now, suppose you tell me just exactly what happened to you, Charlie.
Well, I was only trying to befriend a friendless animal.
A friendless animal?
A little porcupine.
Oh, a porcupine.
Oh, a little humanitarian that I am.
Yeah. Well, what happened?
He clipped me, so help me, he mowed me down.
He did. Well, you must be very careful in handling porcupines, because they say they have about, I think it's about 30,000 quills.
They do?
Yes.
Yes, well, it felt like it.
Yes.
I must say he wasn't selfish.
No.
Well, he shared half of them with me.
He did. You know, the scientific name for the porcupine is known as the Arachnison dorsatum.
Yes?
Yes. Which translated means irritable back.
Aren't you the fountain of knowledge? And isn't it about time you dried up?
All right. Nevertheless, that's the correct name.
Well, I don't care what it is in Latin. I call my porcupine a poinsettia.
Poinsettia? Yeah. Well, that's pretty cute. Now, where did you get him?
Well, I was walking in the woods, and I sat down to rest. And there I had him. By the seat of my pants.
Well, now that you've got him, just exactly what are you going to do with this porcupine?
Well, I'm thinking of renting him out for cocktail parties.
Renting him out?
Yeah.
For cocktail parties?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. He could run around the room, you know, with olives and little sausages stuck in his quill.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
no. I'm afraid that wouldn't work.
No, it won't, I'm afraid.
No.
They won't let him in the butler's union.
No, I see. Well, I'm afraid you better try and get rid of this porcupine, Charlie, because he may be more trouble to you than he's worth.
Yes. I wish I could palm him off on some unsuspecting dope.
Yes.
Hello, chaps. I say, what are you two talking about?
Oh, you, Ray. Just you.
Bobby is saying about me. You know, I just love a bit of juicy gossip.
Well, I was just saying I have a cute little pet I'd like to give you.
Well, that's jolly decent of you, Charlie. As a matter of fact, you know, I've had a number of pets. White mice, parrots, dogs.
Did you ever have kittens?
No, my cat did.
Oh, you fool, you.
I just threw it in, you know, Charlie.
Yeah,
I say, what kind of an animal is he?
Well, it's hard to describe him and still have you want him.
Yes, well, is he cuddly and affectionate?
Oh, affectionate. Why, you should see how quickly he gets under your skin.
Ray, I think we should tell you that this animal that Charlie has is a porcupine.
Oh, a porcupine, yes. Well, of course, I always say a porcupine has its good points.
Yes,
good points.
Yes,
you do get it, don't you?
Yes, I do, yes.
Nothing like a good joke.
Well, that was nothing like a good one, I'll say that.
I say, Charlie, you know, perhaps I could get another porcupine, too.
Yeah?
Then I'd have a prickly pear.
No! That does it. I just couldn't expose poinsettia to jokes like that. It would be cruelty to animals.
Yes, I think you're right, Charlie. Now, I suggest that you give this porcupine to the zoo, Charlie.
The zoo?
Yes.
No, Bergen, no.
Why not?
Well, it would be rather, shall we say, awkward.
Awkward?
Yeah.
Why awkward?
Well, it's, that's where I swiped him.
Oh, I see.
Thank you.
Professor Corey.
Oh, good evening. Isn't it? Say, you know, I've been working on Master Charlie's lesson on medieval history.
Oh, well, that's well and good. But how about the world of tomorrow? What about the future, Professor?
Oh, definitely. Definitely the future. Oh, the future. The brave new world of science. The veritable millennium of the emium of the epical. Oh, we have plans for the world of tomorrow. With its unique emphasis on the wide streets, the curving thoroughfare, and the broad plaza at the end. Why, just the other day, a young lady stopped me in the street and said, Professor, what about tomorrow? Unfortunately, I had a previous engagement. But what about the next day?
Professor, you're digressing. Let us look into the world of tomorrow, remember?
Oh, yes, tomorrow. You know, my committee has been working on this and working overtime and has not only looked into it, but looked in between it and underneath it. And we found, at the bottom, the world of tomorrow is all electrical. Now, what is this electricity? It is nothing but simplicity. In a redundant form, of course. Now, we have found that the electrical current of tomorrow will come, incognito, of course, from two main sources, either the wall or the socket. But only provided the plug of tomorrow is in. Let us now leave the technological end and touch upon the human one. Now, most young people under the ages of... are very fond of other young people under the age of... Therefore, in the glass brick houses of tomorrow, with no curtains to hang up, what will there be for the young people to do? Nothing! Except to walk up and down the wide streets with the curving thoroughfare and the broad plaza at the end. So you see, people who live in glass houses shouldn't. Now reflecting. Now reflecting on the world of 1910, in which we exported some 3,000 long and 2,000 short. We don't know just what, but we do know that they came in two sizes. Surely, such statistics prove that underneath the existing tariff laws, with all coming in and nothing going out, we are headed for inflation, gastric disturbances, nervous diability, and shortwave diatomy. This leaves only television. However, I cannot refrain from mentioning the aeroplane of tomorrow. Already the aeroplane has made the world much smaller. And this accounts for the difficulty in getting rooms. Even my own committee. So if you have any questions, you will find the committee tomorrow out in the wide street with the curving thoroughfare and the broad plaza at the end. Anything else, Mr. McBurgan?
I can't think of anything else. In fact, I can't think.
Ah, but you do feel... You do feel able to face the future?
Yes, after having been through your explanation, Professor, I think I can face anything. facing the immediate future, prospects look very good because it brings Joan Merrill and Ray Noble's orchestra together in Don't Take Your Love From Me.
You can take my castle, that's if I had a castle, and I'd miss it for just a while. You could take my treasure, that's if I had a treasure, and I'd face poverty with a smile. But there's one thing I ask of you, one thing you must never do. Tear a star from out the sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and the rose weeps too. Take your heart away from mine, and mine will surely break. My so please keep the spark away. Would you take the wings from birds so that they can fly? Would you take the ocean's roar and leave just a sigh? I beg of you, don't take your love from me. All this your heart would never do. This is what I beg.
That's pretty good. Isn't that romantic?
What are you reading there, Charlie?
Oh, it's a Lonely Hearts Gazette, Bergen.
Lonely Hearts Gazette, yeah. A matrimonial magazine?
Yeah, Cupid's Swath Shop. Listen to this ad, Bergen. Sounds very good, too. Refined young lady wants reliable husband. Three, this experience unnecessary. Signed, Poopsie. Poopsie!
Yeah.
Sounds like the answer to your problem, Bergen.
Yeah, well, I'd never be silly enough to answer an ad like that.
Well, that's what I figured, so I answered it for you.
You answered it for me?
Yeah.
You used my name?
Yeah.
Are you mad?
No, are you?
Yes, I see. How could you do such a thing?
Well, I feel sorry for you, Bergen. Here you are, with hardly a good phone number to your name.
Well, that's no concern of yours.
Well, you don't want to be a sour old bachelor, do you? Much longer, I mean.
Well, now, wait a minute here. I've gotten along all right so far, by myself.
You really believe that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I say, Edgar, old chap, there's a young lady outside. A Miss Poopsie to see Cuddles Bergen.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Cuddles Bergen, no. Then she's here. This is all your fault, Charlie.
Well, I only did it for your own good, Bergen. Bergen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when you get me into a mess like this, you know, it's up to you to get me out of it.
Yeah, but how, Bergen?
Well, when she comes in here, I shall expect you to make disparaging remarks about me.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to point out my faults.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. This is one time it'll be a pleasure to tell the truth.
Yeah. Ray, you better send her in, I think.
Okay, Cuddles.
Yeah.
Oh, Poopsie. Yeah.
Now, don't forget, Poopsie. Charlie. You're going to tear me down.
Tear you down. Yeah. Don't you worry, Bergen. You're in the hands of the McCarthy Wrecking Company. Here she comes.
Hello, Edgar.
Why, Signe Hassel.
Hello.
Well, don't tell me, Signe, that you're the one that ran that ad.
Well, don't tell me, Edgar, that you're the one who answered it.
Well, I really didn't answer it, did I, Charlie?
No, I did. He can't write.
Yeah, well, I still can't believe that you ran an ad or that you're unattached.
Well, I'm surprised to find that a handsome, intelligent man like you is footloose.
Oh, yes, I'm footloose.
And the rest of you needs a little tightening up, too.
No one asked for your opinion.
Miss Hassel, wouldn't you be interested in a younger man, say a boy about my age?
Well, Mr. Bergen doesn't seem so old to me.
Well, he's showing off today. He left his cane home.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, will you cut it out, Charlie? Now, stop it.
Well, stop nudging me, will you? I'm only doing what you told me to do, tear you down.
Yeah, well, don't do what I told you to do. Build me up.
Build you up?
Yes.
Up, down, I don't know. Everything I do is wrong.
Oh, Edgar, Edgar, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Say, Charlie, is Edgar mean to you?
Oh, this is nothing.
Oh, really?
He beats me and he locks me in the basement.
Oh, no.
Without food or water.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
Oh, poor Charlie, are you?
I go for days with nothing but a crust of bread.
Nothing but a crust of bread?
Well, a little jam on it, yeah.
Oh, Charlie, you poor, poor boy.
Everything I do is wrong.
Oh, oh, stop Charlie. It, Charlie. Now, it's not now. I'm glad you sent the letter, you understand?
Yeah, yes.
Why, this is a wonderful idea.
Yeah. Well, in that case, Edgar, let's close the deal. Let's set the date, huh?
All right, what about the honeymoon? I suggest Lake Placid.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Why Lake Placid?
Well, I've never been there.
Oh, I...
Well, I agree with Charlie that Lake Placid is a wonderful place.
Yeah?
But, you know, on a honeymoon, three is the crowd.
Yeah, well, we'll figure a way to ditch Thurgan when we get there.
Oh, it sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
Yes, so much fun. Yeah. I almost wish I was going.
Yeah.
Well, of course you should. It's your honeymoon.
Well, you see, yes, but, well, I'm not Poopsie.
Not Poopsie?
No.
Not Poopsie? Well, how so, Hasso?
Well, you see, Poopsie's Miss Doodle.
Well, who's Miss Doodle?
Why, Miss Doodle is my cook.
Well, cook-a-doodle.
Oh, no, darling. But, Signe,
yes?
I thought you ran that ad for a husband.
Yes, I did. You see, my cook promised to stay and get my meal, if I'd get her a meal ticket.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll not marry your cook. No, this changes the whole thing.
Why, now, wait a minute. minute, Bergen, what does she look like?
No.
Well, she's about 200 pounds of dainty loveliness.
Well, I don't care. I wouldn't be interested. No.
Well, but no? Listen, Edgar, she's such a sweet girl.
No.
Listen, wait a minute. I'll call her. Miss Doodle.
Now is the time, John. Tear me down. Tear me down. I'll tear you down.
Here, Edgar. Yeah. Here she is.
Oh, so you're Miss Doodle.
Yes, but you can call me Poopsy.
What have I done to deserve this?
Oh, you great big handsome man. I'm so glad I saved myself for you.
Why did you have to save so much?
Oh, Cuddles, I want to sweep you off your feet right into my lap.
Now wait a minute here.
But Edgar, no. Poopsie's such a lovely
girl.
Care. Yeah, but several men have asked for her hand already.
Well, yes, but they always backed out when they saw what was attached to it.
Yeah, well, you can count me in on that.
Oh, Cuddles, we were made for each other.
No.
We could go places together.
May I suggest Lake Placid? Will you stay out of this, Charlie? Everything I do is wrong.
Oh, aren't you ashamed of yourself, Edgar?
Cross the bridge. Oh.
Because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love. I get no dizzy spell. My head is not in the skies. My heart does not stand still. Hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love because I feel so well, but still I love to look in your eyes. This can't be love because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love. I get no dizzy spells. My head is not in the skies. My heart does not stand still. Hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love because I feel so well. But still I love to look in your eyes. I love to look in your
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.